According to the instruction of the Immaculate Lamas of this tradition, it is customary in the beginning to adjust our motivation. Start first of all by thinking that you're here on this occasion to listen to these most profound teachings of the Mahayana, not for your own sake, but for the sake of all sentient beings. Sentient beings who have been your mothers in the past and are as vast as the vastness of space. For their sake, you aspire to reach the precious state of full and complete enlightenment, the state that is characterized by the full development of all positive qualities and the total elimination of all negativity. With this particular thought in your mind, please adjust your motivation. The great Lama Tsongkhapa has stated that actually both vehicles, the causal sutric vehicle as well as the resultant Vajra-like vehicle, the secret vehicle of Tantra, are always to be practiced together in a state of union. Whatever practices of Tantra you engage in, prior to that you would need to have an understanding of Sutra. These practices of Sutra constitute the basis, the foundation upon which you build your practices of Tantra. These two vehicles should never be seen as being contradictory, but rather they should be practiced always conjoining one with the other. There are some that practice Sutra and do not see the need of practicing any Tantra. And again, there are those who practice Tantra without thinking that there is any need to rely on Sutra. Both those wrong views are actually refuted by this verse of Lama Tsongkhapa. In a similar way, Arya Shantideva has actually talked about extracting the cream from churning the milk of Dharma, and it explains how, from looking at the presentation of these three scopes, the small, the medium, and the great scope, one can extract the essence of that. And extracting the essence of that means, again, identifying which parts refer to method, which parts refer to wisdom, and ultimately uniting those two. We do that on the basis of practicing the three principal aspects of the path. First of all, we generate the mind of renunciation, which is a mind that has been disenchanted with the situation within cyclic existence. And remember what we said, that renunciation is generated in four different occasions. You can have renunciation that is related with the small scope, renunciation related to the middle scope, renunciation related to the great scope, and of course renunciation within the context of tantric practices. If renunciation is understood in these four occasions, four different levels, also we understand that refuge can be defined in those four distinct levels. And the two aspects of refuge is, first of all, fear or apprehension for suffering. And then on top of that, one needs to have the faith that the objects of refuge have the potency to protect one from those fears. So this is, let's say, the foundation, the first step of the three principal aspects. On top of that, we generate the mind of love and compassion that can support the development of bodhicitta. And up to here, we're dealing with the part of the practices that represent method. On top of that, we have to generate comprehension of wisdom and then unite this method and wisdom and practice in this way without separating the different parts of our practice. Now, we continue with misunderstanding. This is how one should engage in the practices of Tantra, and we continue from where we left off with our text last night. Now, last night we just make a mention on the fact that there are some particular, some uncommon abandonments for the tantric vehicle, and we describe those as being ordinary appearances and grasping at those ordinary appearances. And as we have on verse 110 on Lama Chöpa, we say, we seek your blessings to cleanse all stains of ordinary appearance and grasping. So there we have a mention of these two abandonments. Through the first stage yoga of transforming birth, death and the bardo into the three bodies of the Buddha, this one referring to the generation stage, so that whatever may appear arise as the body of the yidam. So we have a clear reference of these practices here. And we say that the main abandonment, or the uncommon abandonment that we're dealing with within the context of Tantra, is this ordinary appearance and this grasping of ordinary appearances. And what we try to do with our practice of Tantra is to actually substitute those. So instead of having these contaminated appearances of ordinariness, we try to substitute this with pure appearances. And instead of grasping at this identity of being ordinary, we try to substitute that with holding on into the pure identity of the deity. We're not saying that through this practice we're going to abandon all the seeing and all the meditation abandonments. All we're saying that these are some uncommon abandonments of the tantric path. So we look at our text where it says the uncommon objects to be abandoned on the generation stage are, first of all, generating the appearance of oneself as ordinary, and second, conceiving oneself as ordinary. Ordinary appearance is not the appearance of the environment and its inhabitants to sense awareness, but the ordinary appearance of the environment and its inhabitants to the mental awareness. The antidote to that appearance is the appearance dawning as the pure supporting mandala and supported deities. So, as I say here, the main thing is not how the environment around you and the sentient beings in that appear to your eyes, but rather it is the way that they appear into your mental awareness. The other one is secondary. And in order to overcome this ordinary appearance, what we do is we need to generate the pure appearance. Now, how we do that is that, first of all, we start seeing everything around us, such as the environment and so forth, as being a manifestation of that is established out of the primordial awareness comprehending emptiness, and in this way it appears in that particular way. And as for the conceiving ourselves as being ordinary, right, we have to overcome that by what is called the divine pride. And when we talk about the divine pride, we talk about taking the resultant primordial awareness, comprehending emptiness, and seeing that manifesting into the aspect of the deity. And then identifying with that and say, I am that, generating the pride on that. And when we talk about pride in this occasion, it's not a case of an afflicted pride. It's not a case of the pride that you would add in the list of desire, hatred, confusion, and so forth. It's just this identifying, as we say, with the aspect of the deity. So the antidote to conceiving oneself as ordinary is meditating on the pride of being the pure supported deity in the supporting mandala. And then it says further, it is said that divine pride is said to be the main practice, while the meditation of appearances is said to be the secondary branch of that.
Odi da dinda yinba yindi dan 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 diya hona teya ngajir gomba na suhu dan nunga gomba na di yanak yambar san suhu si odi da suhu suhu shenba di matahu shenba di dakgu na tabu shenba di yang kukuyuhari nunga di yanak dago shundu dago yindi ngi odi da dinda yinba yindi dana gomba chiwi layi nanjur la nyambar jaba na mukki shiwa la sabba nunga jen mancharwa na ཁྱི 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 ཁྱི
Now, as I said, the statement here is made that from the two, amongst divine pride and clear appearance, divine pride is considered to be the main practice, because the main thing that we have to overcome is conceiving ourselves as being ordinary. And meditation or clear appearance is the secondary branch on that. And there is some information in order to support that. It says, through great familiarity, alternate appearances do not arise for eye awareness, etc., when in equipoise on deity yoga. It is stated, and here it is stated in Pramanavartika, that by consciousness being attached to alternate objects, potency is lost. Alternate objects appear because the pure is not held. Accordingly, through mental awareness, strongly engage alternate objects, the potency of the immediate condition to generate pure eye awareness and so on degenerates, and those are temporarily not generated, and the generation stage does not stop ordinary appearance to sense awareness. This last statement is important. It says that it is not that the generation stage is the one that would cause all ordinary appearances to stop, but that this happens because of the familiarity you have with your focal object. So it happens, let's say, on the side. It happens naturally. It's not that this is the cause or the aim of the generation stage.
ཁྱི ཕྱད མ ཡོང བ ཁྱི ཕྱད མ ཡོང བ
Now, we continue with a further reason that is given actually from the mantric states, because it says, therefore, if one obtains the potency to stop ordinary appearance for mental awareness through exalted appearance, the need for that is established, right? So if you're capable to stop the appearance of the ordinary through focusing on the exalted, which is the body of the deity, the appearance of the mandala, and so forth, then the need for that is established. Why? Because the mantric stages state that though phenomena have not turned into deities, still uncontrived divine pride is generated, and by that the need is established. What is meant by that is this: phenomena have not turned into deities. So if you look around you, the environment, the mountains and the cities and the people that inhabit in there, they have not all turned into deities, right? But still, nevertheless, you have a visualization, and most important, you have caused this divine pride, thinking that I am this deity, which is the manifestation of primordial awareness. And by doing that, the point is established, the need for that is established. Now we continue by examining the type of investigation that is involved in these two aspects, the clear appearance and the divine pride. So it says, from among the two, first of all, clear appearance, and second, divine pride. When meditating, first of all, on clear appearance, analytical meditation is predominant, since one needs to practice analysis by visualizing again and again the aspects of the supported deities and the supporting mandala. And this point of having the clear appearance through the power of familiarity of meditating again and again on these particular aspects is something that is also mentioned by Protector Maitreya. Now, having established the type of analytical meditation that is needed for clear appearance, we come to the second one, where it says, after visualizing those aspects, since one must generate individual divine pride, thinking, really, I am that and that, one must do both. Now, there are some statements here in order to explain really how this clear appearance is generated. So it says, it is also said that in order to generate clear appearance, one does not need to establish calm-abiding focus on it first. So whether you are focusing on the inestimable mountain, whether you're focusing on the deities, it doesn't mean that, first of all, you have to generate calm-abiding before you're capable of having any clear appearance of that. The second point is this: nor nor is it not generated if one does not become familiar with each deity in stages. So what it means with that is that if you're a beginner, you will be able to have this visualization of the whole mandala and the deities, and it will be on a course level, right? You can see it on a course level. It doesn't mean that you have to go through the slow process of having this clear visualization of each one of the deities, stage by stage. You don't do it like that. You don't need to do that in order to have clear appearance. And finally, it says, nor does one need to become familiar with the perfect meaning. Here, the perfect meaning refers to meditation on emptiness. It doesn't say that one does not need to meditate on emptiness. As a beginner, you will be meditating on emptiness on these stages, but it will not be the main one of your practice. This is a secondary practice. So you don't need to meditate on emptiness as your main practice in order to have clear appearance.
Nabena ji nojani sheni gomba yena da semni gosi ji di ji kumdo da wo ramba gosi nan do gu yu aru wa ji semni tambo tambo ma changi ji niwa tambo ma changi deni rambi rambi kongwen ji na deni nam shi na tembo niwa denre yang gu ba yendu tembo niwa di manye la tembo niwa di ten chabaras yang kombo ten deni ji tembo yang ya di ये
Now, we continue now with this explanation of how this clear appearance is generated. So it says, if one places frequent attention on those aspects, indeed clear appearance is generated by just that. But one does not attain continuous stable abidance. So through familiarity, you will have the clear appearance, but that does not mean that you have stability. Right? Just because you can see it clearly once doesn't mean it's stable. If there is no stable abidance, one lacks the potency to stop ordinary appearance and conception. Therefore, it is certainly necessary to establish calm abiding when on the stage of generation, and also that should be done through the yoga of the subtle drop. So we're going back into this point where so you can generate clear appearance, but you don't necessarily have established the stability on that. Stability is generated at a later stage as you continue with your efforts. And it's the same thing with the process of developing calm abiding as it is presented in the sutric vehicle. So you know that, for example, prior to calm abiding, you have the nine mental stages. And you see that in the first mental stage, you would be able perhaps to get some clarity on your focal object, but you don't have stability on that. So you don't stop at the first mental stage, you go into the second, and from the second you go into the third, and so forth, seeking to achieve not only clarity, but also stability. So a similar thing has to happen here. You move from the clarity to a level of greater stability. And it says that eventually this When you are on the stage of generation, you will have to establish calm abiding. So when we talk about practices of the highest yoga tantra, we say that calm abiding will be attained on the stage of generation. If you're practicing lower tantras, it would have to be attained on the first yoga, which is yoga with signs.
Ojida dinda yimba yindu jida dojong ni yena jigi chini ga mubata zo dinda song yuwa rwa
Again, we're going back into examining how calm abiding is presented within the Sutric vehicle and how it is attained. And it's said that if you are aspiring to develop the mind of calm abiding, first of all, you have to examine which one of the three poisons is predominant in your character. And the first thing you would do as you identify your main problem is to apply an antidote to that. It would be a different case if you had an individual who, let's say, would have an equal mixture of all three poisons. But for most people, one is predominant. So first you identify that, you apply the antidote to that straight away to make sure you will not have problems with your meditation later on. And then after that, you start working with your focal object. And one of the first things that you would have to adjust in terms of the focal object would be the size of this focal object. As a beginner, you cannot have a focal object that it is too small because it will be too difficult to retain with your concentration. But also, the focal object cannot be too big either, because although it might seem easier to hold the details on something which is large, if it becomes too large, then it's not helping in terms of remaining awake and so forth. So it is said that the size should not be, eventually, you know, you might experiment a little bit with the size, making it a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller, but it shouldn't be any bigger than 4 finger widths of that. And Rinpoche was saying the same way that you can have someone who is painting a tanka, for example, and from the beginning they will need to define what is the size of the tanka they want to produce, and then according to that they need to define the dimensions and the relative, let's say, sizes of the deity within that. Similarly, if you decide what the whole size of your visualization will be, you would have to adjust, let's say, the length of the head, the length of the body, the arms, and so forth. So this is how we need to adjust the size of the focal object. It's an important thing.
Tuli Tamu on the Tendo Temple, Chankuri on the Gombano, or you that in Dago, Avadi, Tenga Natsiam, Tenga Nimundo, DT and Ogonimo United, you need Then Tamu Kazu denying you are it, then the Tambu, Robert Kavriti, Tamu Kazu, or Jiti, Yanni Mani, Niki Kono, Juni, or Ji Yonker Kondra Zamgo, then Jayin Kongun, Tinola T, T, So Zamgo, then Bala Gungungi, or Jida Dinner Zango Divine, and do something and Tuli, Tamu no, the Tenno Temple Jungle on the Gumbano, T, Tatuka Kavriti, T, Dakarton Juana Jungle. Jenny Lee Dambova, the Nikov J. Yendu, Lee Dambova, don't you see that Yeshi Jonze Vapa, Tambuni Kavso, Gungo Yamarisi. Yeshi like Jonze, Hontobani, that had to be Gungo, Kavian Bayendu, those are questioning as you move out of Batam, Samla Mubago, Tito Batam Gumachawa, Tatter Tongue at this only. Gungu, yes, that Nikov Dambuni, you do so, Democra Sanson said.
So, aftercare, we have been using the presentation that is available to us from the perfection vehicle in order to attain calm abiding, and we say that the size of the focal object is important. And of course, we need to understand that the size of the focal object, even within sutra, can get a bit smaller, but here, within Tantra, we have it becomes even smaller, because if you look at the text, it says it is necessary to establish calm abiding when on the stage of generation, and also that should be done through the yoga of the subtle drop. The complete meditation on the hand symbol or the supporting mandala and supported deities inside the subtle drop is not a meditation for beginners, nor for those attaining a little primordial awareness. So let's look at this point. Now, yesterday we gave this division, this classification of how far people have gone in the path, and we say the first two stages is the stage where you are described as a beginner, and the second one where you only have attained a little primordial awareness. And when you are in these two stages, you are still practicing coarse generation stage. You have not moved into the subtle generation stage. So it's not expected of you to actually have shrunk the whole mansion and all the deities down to the size of the mustard seed and contemplating on that. So he says, although you would have to work with that later on, this is not the case. This is not how you do it on the first two stages. But there is need for this meditation after having obtained a little control over primordial awareness. This is the third stage. When you reach the third stage, you are actually working on the subtle level of generation stage. That means you should be able to shrunk everything into the size of a mustard seed. And then how you meditate on that is that by placing that subtle drop either at the upper opening of the central channel or on the lower opening of the central channel, and you meditate by focusing on that. Therefore, it says, at the time of the first two cases, the mind holds the hand symbol or the subtle drop of the upper and lower opening.
Kabdi, Yuki Kona Mubayananda, Yatli and Tamu Kona Mubayananda, Tila mubha zonga di nga ka thongo ma yinpa chiki yinpa yindu ndu gu shini gomba dang manda zonga gu yuwari. Zonga sam niga jiba chiba yindu sam ga mubha zonga dina long yang da yang yindu long rafa da zo mara kao ya long chamo dang sam chamo ni chiki jila tenpa yinpa yindu tili zonga sam zan tabsa zonga Ojita, Tendago Goni Parson Topa, Judy Omani Shizaka, Tingin the Dulidon, Molamiko come the Mandrava Chibber Chamber, you host his own.
All right, so we continue from that last statement. So you see, the last statement says, therefore, at the time of the first two cases, the mind holds the hand symbol or the subtle drop of the at the upper and the lower opening. So it is clear that actually you can either do it with a subtle drop or you can do it with a hand symbol. But it states here that in the first two cases you can actually, you could be working on this subtle level. But the important thing is that this will not be your main meditation. It will be used as a means for doing something else. He says, further, in the first two cases, meditation on the subtle drop is predominantly meditation on the realization of self-generation, and it is for the purpose of severing mental sinking and agitation. So it's for the sake of calming the mind. It's not really, you're not really, it's not the main practice, it's just a means of the practice. Establishing the stable abidance of the mind, encompassing everything in the subtle drop, is said to be done from the third level, which is the level of those who have a little control over primordial awareness. And then we continue, and it says, although calm abiding is not established in the case of beginners, when the mind forcefully holds letters or subtle drops, etc., at the upper and lower openings, the navel or the heart, this acts as a condition for the winds to gradually abide internally through the essential points of the place of meditation and the support of the focal object. So we have a number of things here. First of all, it is mentioned that there are different places in the body where we can place this subtle drop or this small visualization. It's not just the upper and the lower opening, but also it mentions the heart as well as the navel. So more or less, we're talking about the places where we have the four main channel wheels. You could meditate on any of those. And by doing this, this acts as a condition to gradually bring the gross winds inside. This is an important point because this actually differentiates the presentation or the way of attaining or working towards calm abiding in sutra from the way that it is attained in tantra. In tantra, we always talk about wind and mind coming together. Whether you talk about gross wind and mind or whether you talk about subtle wind and mind, wherever one goes, the other will go as well. So that means that if you choose a particular focal object and you place it in one particular point of your body and you direct the mind there, the winds will also have to follow and go into this place. And this is this unique presentation of Tantra, the unique method of Tantra that causes the winds to gradually abide internally through those essential points. And it says, although the focal objects of analytical meditation are many and mixed, by the might of gradually taming the winds, one is capable of quickly stopping mental agitation when meditating on the Supreme Victory Mandala and so forth. Therefore, this is different to the system of establishing concentration explained in Perfection Vehicle and the three lower classes of Tantra. Because you're moving, you are capable of subduing some of the winds, bringing the winds inside.
Ojida rāpādāṁ chāpā nīcī, chāpā tīlā yāṁ jī chāpā nāni chāntaṁ chāpā jī sāṁni dā, chāntaṁ chāpā saṁ chāmu tī tēni, o jī dā jī rāpā tāpā yāna chāntaṁ chāpā lāṁ saṁ chāmu tī tēna, lāṁ chāmu tī māma pāna jī tū gā, chūsū jī kā nī gā nāṁ cēng gā, yāpā tū jīn chāng gā tū jī gā, zī kā chāpā tī lāṁ gā nī lī, chāntaṁ chāpā lāṁ chāmu tī zī kī nī lī nā rū tī ngī.
This is an important point of actually highlighting the difference between the perfection vehicle and the tantric vehicle. As we said, in particular within the completion stage, you will find this extensive presentation of wind and mind. And we talk about gross wind and mind, we talk about subtle wind and mind, and also we talk about very subtle wind and mind. This is a unique presentation of Tantra. And when we, particularly when we examine this very subtle wind and mind, although we do not want to differentiate them, at one point we can present them as being different, because we can present them as being the cause, the substantial cause, establishing different results. So from within this, let's say, cluster of very subtle wind and mind, if you were to examine a very subtle wind of its own, you would see that this acts as the substantial cause, establishing the form body of Buddha Vajradhara. And as for the very subtle mind from within this very subtle wind and mind, this acts as the substantial cause for establishing the Dharma body of Buddha Vajradhara. Now, we talked about very subtle wind, and we said that the very subtle wind actually becomes the substantial cause for establishing the form body. Now, when we talk about very subtle winds, we know that we have a group of the five main winds. From those five main winds, the first one is called the life force sustaining wind. And in that, again, we can see that we have two levels, the gross one and the more subtle one. When we look at the more subtle level of the life sustaining wind, we say that actually this is something that has been with us and will be with us all the way, from the beginning all the way up to the state of enlightenment. And when we talk about winds, we also need to look at a different aspect of them, and this aspect is the five colors that are manifested. So it says that from the aspect of the five different colors of rays of light, right, of the winds, we establish the form body, and from the aspect of the sound of the winds, we establish the emanation body.
Long time, Then he's some time was some good thing, you don't buy your tea, then I moon you can do have any vadi, then do the owner, and then travel on some time with dinner, Christian do have any vadi, you know, Lamiko come to my image, you tend to you and do what you daddy, Tinago, Goni, and you present about on Jidi Omani, but the end of the Dolly Domandrazi, Tinago Nango Jigo Tenny. Tinajiga song you are.
Right, I'm very glad Ramsha repeated the point because I didn't deliver it accurately. We said that when we look at the winds, we look at the two aspects of them. One is the aspect of the five colors, and this aspect of the five colors actually establishes the emanation body. So from among the form bodies, it establishes the emanation body. Yeah, but from the suku is the emanation body. And from the aspect of the sound of the winds, we establish the enjoyment body. So once again, the point was clarified that on the basis of the aspect of the five colors, we establish the emanation body, and from the aspect of the sound that is carried by those winds, we establish the enjoyment body. Now, this explains how we establish the two types of the form bodies of the Buddha, and we also have the remaining two bodies, which are the Dharma bodies of the Buddha. Now, we said that the form bodies are established from the wind, but if we look at the aspect of the mind, now, the mind comprehending emptiness is the one that will establish the Dharma body, and the emptiness of that mind is the one that will establish the identity body, the Mo-Niku of the Buddha. So this, you can see, is one particular characteristic of Tantra. You find from the beginning how you can have this, you can have the union of the two bodies, because you have it from the point of view of having this undifferentiable entity of wind and mind. And one, the wind is going to establish the two form bodies, and the mind will eventually establish the Dharma bodies. Now, the other important point that is unique to Tantra is that it said that by choosing your focal object, which is in this case the deity, not only do you generate on that karma binding, but also you generate special insight with that and the union of two. So again, that's a unique characteristic of Tantra.
Then good tamu, you then good than a good long other the yarny. Then by another, you then by another. Udashini tabar samjan du yusi. Da deni sosur tabar sherab ji trude yang yang. Da ji yang yang si na yang. Yang yang si wa di chalak sangru ji dingin za parisen ye jen si. Yu da di dingin za ji. Oh, ji da dina ji samjan yungi.
Now, well, the text continues by says that is because in the case of the perfection vehicle and the lower tantras, even though one attains actual calm abiding, if analytical meditation becomes excessive, it is said that the previous stable abidance of mind diminishes. However, in this case, though one meditates through mixing many types of analytical meditation, when one has not yet attained calm abiding, it is said that stable abidance is attained. So that is yet another difference between the way that we achieve calm abiding in perfection vehicle and in the tantric vehicle. In perfection vehicle, you do not do too much analytical meditation because this will harm your abidance, your stability. But in the case of tantra, you seem to be alternating and having different focal objects and trying a lot of analytical meditation, and that does not harm the stability. The text continues by saying that the coarse generation stage is consummated because when one arrives at the third level, because it is said that after attaining mental stability through all-encompassing drop yoga, one meditates on the subtle stage. And when one achieves stability on the subtle drop of the upper opening, it is said that calm abiding is obtained. So we have a description here of when the coarse generation state comes to the end and where the calm abiding is obtained. And instead, at that point, the focal object will be by placing the subtle drop at the upper opening between the eyebrows. Then, by the wisdom of individual investigation, repeatedly performing dispersal and gathering, one attains the peerless concentration of the union of calm abiding and insight.
ว่าจิตาเนี่ยปังกวนบัพพะละทุกข์กะลิกะสังตุญภาวลิสังตุญมัจจุบาสิตะจิเอ่อจังกุรกะสวะติสังวันติวาละยังเจวะรุงงีงูยวะริติตะรุงะสินะรุตุกะงูยูนะยังจังกุรกะสวะติมัจจุบาสวะจินะสังวะยันตุสังตุญภาวลิมัจจุบาสังวะกุยวะริโหตะจิโพติอิสิชะลิกะสิภะพะยิสิชะกะลิกะยังสิกุยวะริสังตุญจัมปะตุรจิยังสังวะกุยวะริ
Now, the text continues in this particular paragraph as says, one attains the peerless concentration of the union of calm abiding and insight. And when yoga such as this becomes stable, it is posited as the consummation of the generation stage, which is stated in the mantric stages to be the system of both traditions of Guhya Samaja. Now, we posit here the point of consummation, of completing, let's say, the generation stage. And this is stated in the mantric stages. And it is said that this is in accordance with both systems of Guhya Samaja. We have two systems of Guhya Samaja. The first one is called the system of Arya Nagarjuna. It is called the Arya system. And in this tradition, we are actually asserting that there are 32 deities within the mandala. And also it is called the system of Akshobhya, as the main deity is generated in the nature of Akshobhya. The second system of Guhya Samaja is presented by Acharya Janapada, and in this one we assert that we have 19 deities, so there's a difference in the number of the deities, but also this system is called the system of Manjushri, as the main deity is generated in the aspect of Manjushri. So these are the two systems of Guhya Samaja. They all agree that this is the completion of the generation stage, the consummation of generation stage.